Hello, my name is Kane Wilkinson, and welcome to another episode of In No Particular Order. I feel like there's enough episodes by now that you can feel free to enjoy the episodes in no particular order. There's enough to jumble up and randomly pick a starting place. I wonder if that's how serial killers make their first move. Anyways, I'm going to keep this episode very short this week. There's lots of great music, but sometimes I just don't have very much to say, to be honest. So, that being said, you should still definitely enjoy these bands on your own time, and you can get started by visiting dustyorgan.com to head over to the post for this week's episode, and you can find all the links to all their music there. And as always, don't forget to follow me on social media at IMPO Podcast and at Dusty Organ on Instagram and Twitter, and you can find Dusty Organ on Facebook at Dusty Organ Music. Very simple. So without further ado, nice short intro, let's get started. That was a clip of Purple Hearts, the lead single from Jeremy Messersmith's new album, Late Stage Capitalism. And if you've ever needed to feel good about your mundane existence, Late Stage Capitalism is for you. The album, not the economic state. Minneapolis indie pop singer-songwriter Jeremy Messersmith has a thing for putting on a bright spin on how the bulk of life is, well, boring or even crappy. Essentially, his album says, hey, there are those occasional moments in life that are great, but for the most part, everything is pretty meh, but that's okay with me. I know, it sounds very bleak and unappealing, but the album itself is actually extremely colorful and uplifting. Messersmith borrows a lot from the earlier days of pop music, giving the album a feel-good pop of life. Like, for instance, Monday, You're Not So Bad, the second track on the album, shares a number of similarities to the Beatles' Here Comes the Sun, and lead single Purple Hearts, a few bits of it, if you listen closely, kind of sounds like Van Morrison's Brown Eyed Girl on that doo-wop chorus. But the best example of his juxtaposition of apathy and feeling good is the song Happy. It opens with, why do I feel so sad? And by the time you reach the chorus of, I have a feeling that there is nothing you could buy to make me feel happy, you kind of get the feeling that his words don't quite match the sound. But further down the record, Postmodern Girl and Fast Times in Minnesota reach back as well for the rock and roll of the 50s, and Once You Get to Know Us sounds like something David Bowie would write. It sounds almost like an appeal to extraterrestrials that have come to Earth and are just confused as all hell about how messed up humans are. And overall, Late Stage Capitalism is a decent record, but it does seem to rely a little too much on older styles of pop music. It works, though. The album's fun and enjoyable, but at the same time, I also feel like I've heard it all before. So, Jeremy Messersmith gets a 6.5 out of 10 for his new album. That was a clip of Muted Beatings from Albert Hammond Jr.'s new album, Francis Trouble. And you might recognize the name and musical styling from a little band known as The Strokes. Albert Hammond Jr. is the guitarist for this iconic New York band, but he is also a prolific solo artist, and his fourth solo LP, Francis Trouble, is fantastic proof. And there is a bit of a weird backstory to the album. Back in 1979, his mother, Claudia, had a miscarriage. Now, despite being rushed to the hospital, the baby could not be saved, and at the same time, undetected, by then Albert had already begun to grow inside of his mother, and when he was born, the fingernail of his twin brother exited the womb alongside him. And at the age of 36, Albert found out this interesting fact that a piece of his brother was also born with him. So Albert used his latest album, Francis Trouble, to delve into understanding his identity and how it would be vastly different with a twin brother. At the same time, though, he doesn't want to make the unfortunate concept of miscarriage a major focal point on the record. So just treat that as trivia, if anything. Anyway, it's easy to compare his solo stuff to his Strokes work, but there is quite a difference between the two. His guitar work with the Strokes is more slick and rhythmic and almost like clockwork, very repetitive. But his solo stuff is a bit more rough around the edges, and he plays around with the strong Britpop influences, even though he's a New Yorker. And you can find that on opening tracks D vs. L and Faraway Truths, and they help to forget about Heyman's connection to the Strokes and dive into his individual identity as a musician instead. The songs are fast, sharp, and catchy as all hell, and most of the songs on Francis Trouble are that level of catchy, which gives the album such a captivating pull. There are hooks for days and energized riffs on tracks like Set to Attack, Screamer, and Harder, 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 which put together sounds a bit weird now that I read that out loud. And Hammond's voice has a lot more flexibility and range than Julian Casablancas, who was the lead singer of the Strokes. On this record, Hammond can be soft and cool and then reach for some wilder, heavier notes. And that helps to make Francis Trouble a very unpredictable record and, more importantly, a lot of fun. And you can find it on all of your favorite streaming services like Spotify and Apple Music, and you can get a taste of it at dustyorgan.com as well. And just like I promised, this was a very short episode. Thanks for, listening anyways. And if you are interested in some more great releases, I added about 6 of them on the post on dustyorgan.com under the bonus picks, including of Montreal's latest White as Relic, Dear Rogue, Phases, and George Fitzgerald's All That Must Be, and a few more, actually. Definitely worth the effort. I promise you'll enjoy at least one of the albums on there, or I'll refund you the $0 it costs you to enjoy this episode. Deal? Deal. And one more thing, with feeling, don't forget to follow Dusty Organ on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dusty Organ, and as well, IMPO with the handle at IMPO Podcast. And now this is on iTunes. I'm not sure if you found it there, but you can rate it how you feel. Honest, 5 stars would be nice, but let's be honest. That's all I've got. So, goodbye. In No Particular Order was produced and created by Kane Wilkinson. It was written by Kane Wilkinson. Editing was by Professor Plum with a wrench in the kitchen. Music was Purple Hearts by Jeremy Messersmith and Muted Beatings by Albert Hammond Jr. In No Particular Order is a Dusty Organ production. It was recorded in front of an empty apartment.